macchina si cerca di spiegare le 25 pagine di questo piano, ma io non ci capisco niente. Il titolo dice: il manifesto dei 5 presidenti è una bomba politica per completare l'Unione. Quello è il titolo. Allora uno pensa, è interessante, lo leggi e non ci capisci niente, allora vai a cercare questo piano, questo manifesto, e questo lo capisci un po' meglio. Di queste 25 pagine farò soltanto, poiché Marisa lo conosce meglio, altri reati farò, certamente anche lavora al Parlamento Europeo, perché io devo menzionare due o tre cose per spiegare perché si tratta di un'onta totale. Il punto principale che si dice nell'introduzione è che bisogna avanzare su quattro fronti: la unione economica autentica, l'unione finanziaria, l'unione budgetaria e l'unione politica. Voglio leggere cosa dice dell'unione politica. L'unione politica che deve gettare le basi di queste tre basi e unioni interne con un rafforzamento autentico del controllo democratico della legittimità e delle istituzioni. Questa è l'unione politica. E poi dice: l'obiettivo della riforma è duplice: da una parte terminare le prime misure che devono essere iniziate con questo processo, e poi dare orientamenti chiari per le misure sono la competitività, la difesa dell'euro e, come lo dicevo, poi quando si gira la pagina legge anche che per 2025, scusate, avremo un'Unione Europea profonda, autentica, che vi darà un luogo sicuro e prospero per tutti i cittadini degli Stati membri. Avremo una moneta unica e sarà molto attraente per gli Stati membri, che possiamo usufruire, di cui possiamo usufruire se siamo pronti a farlo. Vi lascio e ve lo raccomando, nel senso che lo dovreste leggere. Ed è
quello che avete una idea enorme, che cade la festa in Spagna, del suicidio, della società persiana, dell'aggressione contro le femmes, contro l'environnement, une Europe avec une énorme crise démocratique. On va voir ce qui vient de se passer en Autriche, pour donner un exemple qu'il y a quelques jours, les réfugiés, la xénophobie, le racisme. C'est Erdogan est en train de faire à ce moment-là en Turquie aujourd'hui, qu'il a décidé officiellement et suspendre les droits humains, l'application des droits humains en Turquie, officiellement, parce qu'il ne le faisait pas déjà le respecter. Et dans une Europe, il y a une énorme crise des valeurs où la laïcité et les droits des femmes, les droits des LGTB et la considération absolument dans le monde. Ça, c'est la proposition que nous faisons cette présidente. Alors, et il s'occupe des cinq crises financières, de sa propre crise financière. Il ne s'occupe pas des personnes. Et nous devons nous organiser d'une manière très, très, très différente. Et c'est vrai que si on ne change pas, et les gouvernements des différentes nations, ce n'est pas possible de changer rien en Europe. C'est vrai que si nous continuons avec ce modèle de l'Union européenne, ça ne sera pas possible de rien changer. Alors, nous avons une tâche très importante de la gauche. Nous avons une tâche d'essayer, pas seulement de donner des propositions à long terme et à moyen terme aux personnes. C'est ce qu'on fait en Espagne avec un pays où il y a 13 millions de personnes, la plupart des femmes, évidemment, qui habitent sous le seuil de la pauvreté. C'est vrai que nous devons donner des solutions à long terme et à moyen terme, mais nous devons aussi donner des solutions maintenant aux personnes qui sont en train de passer ces situations. Et pour ça, nous devons faire au moins deux choses. Trois, ce serait mieux. Une, occuper les institutions. On doit essayer
de créer des, avec les mouvements, avec les syndicats, avec les partis, des choses très larges, des fonds. Ce n'est pas nécessaire de créer des partis nouveaux. Oui, chacun fait ce qu'il veut. Mais on peut créer des fonds très larges. On doit occuper les rues, pas seulement les institutions. Parce que si nous occupons les institutions et nous ne occupons pas les rues, ce n'est pas simple pour occuper les institutions. Ça serait impossible que ton gouvernement, je ne vais pas dire de la gauche radicale, mais au moins un gouvernement qui met en question ce qui se passe dans les pays et dans l'Union européenne, c'est insubstituable le modèle de l'Union européenne, ça serait complètement impossible de rien changer. Et troisième, nous devons essayer de définir des luttes communes, parce que nous avons beaucoup de problèmes communs. Nous avons le problème des femmes, nous avons le problème des jeunes, nous avons le problème du chômage, de la disparition des services publics. Nous avons des problèmes très concrets avec lesquels nous pouvons faire des luttes communes et nous ne sommes pas en train de le faire. C'est vrai que l'expérience avec le TTIP et le TTIP est très bonne. C'est vrai qu'on essaye de faire des expériences ensemble, mais on n'arrive pas tellement à donner une bataille contre un de nos ennemis principaux. Et de nos ennemis principaux, c'est l'Union européenne. C'est cette Union européenne. C'est vrai qu'après, nous devons nous mettre d'accord. Qu'est-ce que nous voulons faire comme constitution régionale? Le congrès du Parti de la gauche européenne, et je vous invite à lire le document politique, en fait, nous l'aurons, et nous allons le donner, pas seulement au parti, sinon il sera dans notre web et l'European Left. Je vous invite à le lire parce que c'est important ce que nous voulons faire. Ces partis politiques, des 32 partis politiques maintenant, et c'est, les années passées, ça ne sert pas maintenant. Nous devons essayer de trouver d'autres structures beaucoup plus ouvertes. Nous voyons des modèles en Europe intéressants, même le modèle d'Espagne, de lequel on va parler samedi, c'est un modèle intéressant. On a passé d'avoir 10, 12, 15%, non, plus de 20% dans les dernières élections. Ce n'est pas 30, ce n'est pas le gouvernement. Mais les autres pays de l'Europe peuvent réfléchir aussi quelle est exactement sa situation. Alors, nous devons essayer de construire ces choses plus larges et le parti de la gauche européenne avec aussi l'inestimable des camarades de la Fondation des Nations. Nous devons nous mettre en marche. Alors, et je suppose que je vois que ça me reste 2 minutes. Et ce que je vous invite, c'est à analyser. On doit analyser, on doit savoir de quoi nous sommes là. Parce que si tu ne connais pas très bien pourquoi tu es là, tu ne peux pas lutter contre l'ennemi. Mais après, on doit donner des alternatives. On ne peut pas rester seulement dans les analyses et de ce sera mal. Ça, on doit les changer. On doit dire comment, avec qui, et construire des choses de culture. Alors, moi, je pense que dans le débat, on pourra sûrement trouver beaucoup des arguments et, écoutant les autres camarades, faire déjà une thèse entre tous nous et après le débat, peut-être sortir déjà avec des idées plus claires. Moi, j'ai besoin aussi de vous écouter. Bravo. Merci beaucoup.
Merci. Maite, che ha ben riassunto all'inizio come questo documento, dalla natura apparentemente tecnica, il report dei 5 precedenti, in realtà è un manifesto politico sul futuro delle istituzioni e dell'integrazione. E quindi è un valore importante conoscerlo, discuterlo, perché è il piano che hanno le classi dominanti sul rafforzare un sistema di governance in cui il centro della futura integrazione europea è il controllo, per esempio, sui salari, sulle dinamiche salariali, questi sono dei punti. Cioè l'esatto contrario dell'Europa che vorremmo. L'Unione Europea non sta costruendo un pilastro democratico e sociale, quello sociale lo rimanda al 2040-45, quello che si prospetta davanti a noi è l'esatto contrario di quello che vorremmo. Quindi è necessario costruire alleanze, allargarle e fare di questo punto una battaglia di tutta la sinistra. E far conoscere piano piano, diciamo, i nostri avversari. Questo ringraziamo per i nostri ospiti, i deputati, non solo della sinistra europea, ma delle due NGL che sono qui. Io do la parola di paesi importanti, tutti i quali hanno vissuto, diciamo, sulla loro pelle l'intervento della Troica e del comando esterno. Ringrazio, do la parola adesso a Niotis Cilicchiotis, vicepresidente del GUE-NGL di Achel 5.
Grazie Fabio. Questo vuole ben senso che lo viene fatti dall'impatto. I said we have the same time, we have this similar debate about what is happening in the Union with the pastors and the poor in the wage. And there is more difficult because the wage today is not a group with a big, big diversity. It's not bad. Because for us, it's, I think it's one good experiment. Because UNG is one, the only united platform in the European level. The only united platform that participates all the parties, they have participation in the European Parliament. And that is good that we can find with the change of views. How to find a way to unite us. Because it's more important than the to find a way to unite us and not to debate about our ideological and political differences that we have too many ideological and political differences. Sorry for my English, I try to be so clear that I can. The austerity policies approved by the EU in this course are today the real nature of the European system of prohibition. Democratic and workers' rights are being abolished, leading to mass unemployment, poverty, and lack to the real demands. The five president report is nothing less than the effort to further deepen neoliberalism in the Eurozone by taking advantage of the crisis of capitalism, which was, of course, already caused by the neoliberal policies of the economic elites. On the day the report was launched, Mr. Juncker stated that we set out a roadmap for the future of the group, and we reform the European semester economic policy coordination so that we can modernize their economies. So that we can better support our member states as they are modernizing their economies. For Mr. Juncker, regardless in employment, the regulation of working hours and poverty is something new and modern. In Juncker's mind, and in the ideology of the EU, social security, employment conditions, workers' rights, and welfare state, and even human dignity are all economic indicators. The five president report creates permanent troika regimes in every member state of the Eurozone, the so-called competitiveness authority, as well as competitiveness council which have been established in the member state. This council will have the role of pushing down salaries by linking their growth to productivity growth and destroying collective bargaining, collective agreements, and the workers' rights by setting wage setting mechanisms on a firm level, direct attacking trade unions. The so-called fiscal and financial union proposed by the report will continue holding the people accountable for bailing out the banks. The financial union includes a simple resolution fund for failing banks, but the 55 billion euros collected by the banks to feed the simple resolution fund will hardly Father, another part of Jesus giving to be today, but which in the meantime will continue speculating on the triumph of the Jews. In the fiscal union, the common treasury for the Eurozone is proposed. This will centralize and further coordinate the fiscal policy of the member states, inclusive more austerity and taking away the rights of the member states to plan their own fiscal policy. Last but not least, the report proposed the deepening of the political union. This will just legitimize instruments like the Euro and will lower the already residual rights of the European Parliament. The above mentioned structure proposed by the five president report is not something new. It has been rapidly pushed forward by the UN long before the economic crisis. But since the introduction of the euro and the crisis of 2008, there are for certain being improved the figures of the euro. The economic governance that is linked to the Eurozone is the exact ideology behind the report. And we have several examples to show the anti-democratic and anti-people's identity of it. In Cyprus, we face the cruel distortion of the island's economy through the banking overnight. At the same time, the Cyprus economy was drawn by the imposed moratorium of the time. As a result, Cyprus has the biggest number of workers in the EU, which work under part-time contracts without wanting to do so or without choice to do so, compared to our population. Cheap, precarious, and unregulated employment replaced rapidly state regulation and safe work. 60,000 citizens, or 60% of the population, are unemployed, without counting non-registered unemployment at home and education. Almost one in every four Cypriots live in relative poverty, and more than 60,000 need to purchase their everyday food from social projects. After 3 years of neoliberal attacks through the memorandum, a so-called successful was advertised both by the European and the right-wing government, where the lender reached all the goals put by the program. But as the sad social situation of the people in Cyprus was not enough, the memorandum continued in an unofficial way. Cyprus started the strict surveillance until 2031, or until it pays back 75% of the public debt consumed by each international lender. Portugal and Spain are not different from the case of Cyprus. After Spain introduced austerity measures which brought people to the worst of their social situation, and Portugal implemented memorandum and still also under surveillance until 2035, or the replacement of the 75 is there. They are now all being blackmailed by ECOFIN with sanctions against the people. Last but not least, Greece and the Greek government was submitted to the will of its lenders, and the Eurogroup after being clearly blackmailed and had its banks shut down despite the total improvement of its people. The above mentioned example show that an effort to put of social reforms in the framework of the euro is a difficult and, I dare say, an impossible task. The simple reason is because the state lost their sovereignty on the field of economic and fiscal policy. And this has a great impact on social policy as well. This is why the parties of the left in Europe must not only question the austerity policy, the stability pact, or the five president report. The party of the left must question the structure that institutionalizes this policy and puts the people. And this is the euro, not itself. The common currency is being used to push forward neoliberal austerity doctrines destroying any hope for social development or even democracy. This is why we are very happy to participate in the discussion about the EU. My party considers it necessary to search for alternatives and how it is engaged for the direction of the memorandum in 2013. As part of this effort, we suggested the coordinated return of cycle to each local currency as a tool, always in the framework of international law. This proposal was of course a part of the general debate while Cyprus was entering into the moratorium era and we set solutions how to disengage from the each destructive measure. But this proposal is again more relevant than ever. The reason we base our proposal on were that in the possible coordinated exit from the euro, Cyprus will first and foremost regain the competence for structurally resolve economic and fiscal policy and economically to regain competitiveness with the help for its own currency. Furthermore, the competitiveness of the economic and fiscal policy as well as the decision of an economic model for the country will return back to the state tax. Of course, such discussions, such choices will need the international solidarity, both from the workers' movement, but also from other best parties too. But we are ready to discuss the solutions because we believe that by bringing core competitiveness of the state back to it and gaining its sovereignty will help us to push for those social changes that will give our people they are taking the back, promoting social security, collective agreements, collective bargaining, and raising social development. And we struggle for Europe for the people, not Europe for the multinationals, as it is today. And in my belief, this is the only hope for Europe, the only way for the left. Dear comrades, and the strong and united left based on the mass of criminalization, mobilization, the only real alternative against. Both the neoliberal austerity policies that are promoted by the EU elite and the Vice President of the Court, but especially against the anti-democratic, anti-people structure of the Eurozone. Cyprus, Portugal, Spain, and Greece have set enough examples showing that we find ourselves in a time that we cannot have a simple solution. As again, we are ready to discuss all possible solutions and we assure you that we will continue fighting along the trade union movement and the mass organization and the parts of the left in Europe to overthrow neoliberalism and to safeguard public health, workers' rights and the standard of living of our people. That must be our goal. Thank you very much for your attention.
Grazie Iannis, da vicepresidente a un altro, Medemo, e scusate, Marisa Matias, del vicepresidente del Partito della Sinistra Europea. Detto non potresti andare in Portogallo.
Che ne stai? Yeah, we won the European Championship, but okay, it was the only thing missing. good afternoon. I'll try to speak slowly. I'm going to apologize to the audience to speak slower, and that's my main problem. It's very difficult to talk about these issues without putting into question the very own terms that we use when we talk about them. I was never someone who plays by the rules of the book, so I think that when we discuss the five presidents report and the European rules, we should take into account that the first thing is that there's no such a thing as European rules. The only rule I know at the European Union level is the discretionary. So if we can affect it as a rule, we can do it, but there's no such a thing. So in case I really get sad when I tend to see that left-wing forces are much more
attacks to the European rules with then the right-wing forces and the dominant forces. Because they don't have any problem in not abiding by the rules. They simply don't do it. They create the rules not to follow them. And we are always saying, okay, we can do nothing. There's no alternative within this European Union current rules. I will say exactly the opposite. I think that all alternatives are compatible with existing European rules. Otherwise, we are just playing the game of the right-wing and of the dominant forces. So if we don't put into practice the rules they have already created, why should we left wing rules centralizing these rules? So I think we should not keep on this move that we are doing rules because we have those rules. As for the alternatives, either to the five president reports, if I have the time, and I hope I have the time to go there, I think it's good to have alternatives. I don't think it's good at the moment. But we don't need to repeat all the time the same mess. We already know. We have pretty good diagnosis, and we know what we want for the world. Peace, justice, and all these things, workers' rights, so we don't need to repeat it till the end. So it's good that we have alternatives, but we do nothing. If we only keep global alternatives and we don't give proper answers to the concrete problems that people are facing in their So, we cannot continue in this line of only criticizing. Because only by criticizing or providing global alternative policies, what we are doing is saying to people that they are right when they do choose us for government. They choose us for opposition because they know that we are better criticizing than doing it. So they choose us in our own place, in the opposition. That's why we want to have a left-wing government because we are so criticizing. So this was just a small introduction to say no for the rules, no for global alternatives, and no for the simple fact of criticizing together with broad and general and global alternatives, which we always say are not compatible with existing ones. To think this, what do we have in the European Union now? We have now, we have a union which is based on the member states, and where the member states cannot define their own policies because we have constructed such a level of integration, of negative integration, that the room of the number of the member states is lower and lower every single day. And I think that is on purpose. Of course, these rules are created not to be followed, as I said, but they have a key objective, which is to reduce the capacity of choice within the member states and the problem capacity of choice. So, of course, I'm talking in the political domain. So, what we have seen over the last years was mainly a deep transformation of the very European institutions. And I think that the five presidents' report is a key element in this change. To start, we are all discussing a report for the entire Union, which tries to apply for to deepen the economic union, the commercial union, the fiscal union, the political union, which was brought by five people, not even with the involvement of five institutions, but five persons. The five presidents, so if we want to know what is the margin of maneuver in the democratic form, I think we have the answer when we see the five presidents. But I'm not going into the details of the report. I told you that I would go there, and I just also said it, but I'm not going there because I believe it's for the debate, otherwise I cannot do any of the political issues that I wanted to bring here, and then we can discuss it to our debate. So, as I said, what the five presidents' report does is the same that has been done and constructed through European treaties, which is to try to constitutionalize such a policy which forbids left-wing policies of the American state. That's the main objective and task, and it is also in the treaties. So we could say, okay, at the European level, in the treaties and in the report, what we see is that we are forbidden of having any kind of left-wing policy because it is institutionalized by that. But I won't give an example, a reverse example, to show how this is wrong. Because in Portugal we have, for instance, the most left-wing institution of all the institutions. Our constitution, national constitution, still says that we will be a socialist republic. And it was not changed. Nevertheless, we have several right-wing movements which simply didn't pay any attention to the constitution and the destruction of the social tissue. So why shall we be sacralizing the rules done by the others? Like if it was a constitutional sacred something, if we know that means nothing. It means nothing at all. So what, in fact, we need to do is that, or to take into account, is that not only the European institutions have changed deeply, but also the European project has changed deeply over the last years. So, independently from the fact that I think that we have any capacity of saving the deals to be moved now or not, independently for that, I don't accept the answer that we cannot change things. Honestly, I can. Because I think that it's just looking back and seeing how a project which was a conservative one based on the bourgeoisie and all these things that was not really a liberal project became a totally liberal project after the end. So the very own nature of the European Union has been changing. So that's, I think, a great nature of the European Union has been changing. But do you want to do it or not? That's a different thing. But that's a choice. But we cannot say that the nature of the project cannot be changed. And I must tell you that I'm not a big fan of the European Union at all, so I'm not saying that we need to do it. I'm just saying that it is possible, but we need to make that choice. Either we want to do that or not. So what is the key variable here? It's power. As simple as that. It's to have power and not to have power. Politicians deeply changed the nature of the European Union project because they had power. So they had power. Because it changed. But the problem is that they don't have that much power. So, I think that we need not only not to leave any empty space, and we need also to explore every single contradiction in the capitalist system. And we are not the only ones suffering from the contradictions of the capitalist system. The difference is that in some countries we are being able to change it and convert it in popular sovereignty and popular power, and in other countries we are not being able to do that. And just to give an example, and as you see, I'm being provocative in purpose, but just to give an example, the far right, they do also suffer from the contradictions of the capitalist system, because the capitalist system needs a huge mass of migrant workers to be paid less than the others and to be exploited. So they also have to face these contradictions. We are not the only ones facing them. I think that what the last years showed us is that the left was able to grow and to generate a bigger base of support in European countries, only in the countries where somehow we've been left the issues of sovereignty out of the debate. So I think that the contradiction between sovereignty and regulation. But we can take our historical lessons that in Greece, in Ireland, in Portugal, in Spain, the countries where the left decided, the countries where the left was able to keep and maintain or to increase their political expression were the countries where it being left the sovereignty issue out of the political debate. And that does not mean that the solution is a national solution. It means that we need to have to provide concrete answers for the concrete problems of the concrete people of our countries. And not to be always in the same saying that we can Okay, just a final provocative idea as well, because otherwise we must dispense and then we will all start because we are also in the same place. I just want to say bring another issue, which is the how to deal with European Union. And we are always like having the same discussion that, okay, having an experience in society is a defensive thing. Or like to make a direct confrontation with European institutions is a defensive thing. And we need to be offensive and not only defensive. I have to tell you that I have no problem at all in assuming that in the current moment, we have to be very defensive. And we should not have any kind of problem with that. We should confrontate directly with the institutions and the policies, and not to apply the rules, and not to abide by the rules as the only others are doing. Honestly, we have not enough power in order to do it by the positive way. So, what is the problem of doing it by the negative, by confronting and criticizing? We are in a moment where the democratic institutions are at stake and democratic organizations are at stake. So, we don't have the power as we don't have the initiative. Not even the European Parliament has the capacity for the initiative, political initiative. So, resistance might be a strong weapon for politics in the current times. And I think we should not treat the resistance as always like it is just a poor party, part of the family, is a strong weapon that we should use. Again, to go again to the moon, to know what to answer to the people, to come to us in the street and say, how will we protect our salary? It's simple, we protect our salary by through labor strikes, through improving the minimum wages and things like that. So it's not so difficult. We just need to have the power to do it.
Deputato del Sinn Féin, Mark Carty.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me there? Is that okay? Some people have described the Biden President's report as a roadmap for the United States of Europe. But in fact, when you look closely, it actually goes much further than that. It's actually even much worse than that. To put in context where the left is and where we are and the challenges that faces, I just ask people to reflect on the period chiedere alle persone di rispettare questo rimedio perché si trova in un paese It is also the clearest signal yet that the leadership of the institutions are determined to revive and intensify the pre-crisis debt-driven incidents of financial speculation. So in a sense, they're taking the worst of both worlds and making them permanent institutions of the EU. I think this is start looking at detail is in relation to the capital markets being one of the most alarming proposals that the institutions are pushing. Basically, the capital markets union is an attempt to undo the regulations that were imposed on the financial system in response to the economic crisis. It's a plan basically to deregulate the financial markets by 2019 and revive the key instruments that led to the crisis, basically the shadow banking sector and securitization. It was the pet project of the former British Commissioner Jonathan Hill. He has previously been a lobbyist for the City of London, and it was intended as a kind of a gift to the City of London that would give them basically everything on their own wishes as a way to buy their ongoing support for continued British membership of the EU. Now, obviously, that's another failed project, but it did stop the Brexit vote. It's now being promoted and has been ingrained by the EU leaders as one of their central priorities. So the Capital Markets Union is being pitched as a way to strengthen both financial stability and investment in the productive economy. But the actual reality is the exact opposite. It completely fails to address the fundamental underlying problem of the European economy of stagnation in investment. Overall, it will undoubtedly open a new era of credit debt, driven by the securitization of mortgage loans, in which the largest banks, again, will be the major there. We know, everybody in this room I'm sure knows, that we don't need to reopen the casino. What we need to do instead is stimulate demand in the real economy and by the end of austerity policy, promoting public investment, engaging research, increasing lending to small, micro, medium-sized enterprises through regulated relationship finding. I think the other speakers touched on it as well, but it's also clear from the Vice President's report that the future of Europe in the eyes of its authors is one where the race to the bottom on wages is intensified and again institutionalized. Because apparently all of the EU's institutional flaws and economic problems will be solved if only wages in Germany got a little bit bigger and the wages in countries like France and Italy got lower and workers are squeezed more in terms of working hours. So the proposal is the quick introduction of the national competitiveness authorities in which national governments will be forced to focus on wages and prices, and that's just the first step, remember, because the convergence process is supposed to eventually become binding on all national governments. The push for convergence of wages and living standards will inevitably mean a convergence downwards and not upwards between the experience of the process up until this point. And making an intra-European race to the bottom on wages and conditions and institutional requirements of membership in the union is probably the most effective way for capital to roll back on the rights and conditions won in serving by working people over the past century. Coming on to fiscal rules, the plan to further restrict the rights of national governments to set their own fiscal policy is it's alarming to say the least, but it's also going to be a position that would have major consequences. The so-called fiscal rules have been interpreted and applied differently in different countries. You should hear me in my natural voice. The EU leadership want to introduce a European fiscal board to monitor and surveil national spending. The broader goal is clearly to codify and extend the instruments that were enforced on people and states during sovereign debt crisis to make the instruments of austerity permanent and unescapable. I think there is a significant amount of space for the left to challenge the institutions on all of this, but we have to do it not just at a European level. In fact, to me, the sense of battlefield is at national level. We have a saying in Ireland, or at least I have a saying that I'm trying to make that collective saying. I'm from a small boat called Monaghan. And we say to our local party activists, there's no point trying to convince somebody in Cork, which is the opposite side of the country, to vote for Sinn Féin if you haven't convinced your own neighbours. I think that needs to be replicated at a European level. So by taking national examples, and I take the Irish state for an example, Ireland representing 1% of the entire EU population paid the cost of 42% of the European banking crisis. But then, this week, just a few days ago, we got the good news that the Irish economy had grown by 26% last year. Phenomenal. If it was true, it's not true. It didn't grow. The growth rate is included in the Central Statistics Office report, but it's as a direct result of US multinationals using Ireland as a base for tax avoidance and as simple as that. So the only real impact on the Irish economy as a result of this so-called growth is that we're probably going to have to contribute up to an additional €400 million to the European budget. Paul Krugman described the GDP figures as leprechaun economics. In response, a Dublin woman wrote a letter to one of our national newspapers and said, get with the times, Krugman. Nobody believes in economics anymore. The figures reflect a serious distortion in the Irish economy, which instead of the resource cost, as the case of the finance cost and the tax cost instead. But an alternative economic development strategy requires targeted major capital investment. And capital investment is, of course, extremely constrained by the fiscal rules. At the moment in Ireland, we have two very serious social crises in the health service and in our housing provision, particularly social housing. These crises are literally destroying people's lives. We cannot, nobody will even pretend that we can solve either one of these crises without public investment. But we're told we cannot spend the money necessary because of the fiscal rules. So, the question is, can a government or should a government break these rules to resist punitive consequences that will be threatened or imposed? And that's where I think I can come back to the experience of the Syriza government. Because for all, and we might all have our own opinions in terms of what happened and how it was managed, but we know that European solidarity was important. But what would have been more important would have been at least one other single voice at the European Council table. That was the fundamental problem that Alexis Tsipras' government found themselves in. They were isolated, there was absolutely not a single ally within the room. And to me, that's our fault. It's our fault that we weren't strong enough to be in government, to be at the European Council representing Ireland, and that the opposite was the minister representing Cyprus, and that Barista and her party weren't representing Portugal. It's all our fault, collectively and individually, as parties and of the left within our own national government. Because I think it's here where member states stand together to resist the fiscal rules, that we can make the most movement forward in the current context. For us in Ireland, anyway, it's where the interaction between the EU straitjacket rules and the people's basic needs is taking place at the moment. The point that the EU's denial of democratic policy making is most obvious. And we need to seriously develop effective solidarities in other countries. Nobody's suggesting otherwise when a member state dares to defy in Brussels. Of course, that in itself will not be enough, but it's a minor step forward that delegitimizes the authority and the agenda of the European institutions and will help create space for alternatives to grow. So if you're wondering, collectively at events like this, where is the most important place for the next left breakthrough to come? It's our place, it's our country. That's the lesson I think we have learned over the last number of years. We're going to have a lot of discussions and debate about a left alternative for Europe over the course of this summer school and amongst ourselves. But in my view, the most important task we face is a simple one: organising and mobilising the opposition to the EU leaders' agenda at a local, regional and national level. I don't believe it's possible in general to advance a progressive agenda to further EU integration in any way. The left should oppose further integration and demand restored rights for national parliaments and governments. In my view, we should be completely opposed to the transfer of further powers from member states to the European institutions. The future they have outlined to us is absolutely contrary to the needs and the desires of the people we represent. I don't think it's possible for the left or progressives to yield the power of these integration-based institutions, even if they are to be reformed, because at their core, they move the centre of decision-making further away from the people who are actually impacted by the decisions that are made. They have purposely created a scenario where it's possible for the left to get into government, but almost impossible for the left to get into power. And in many cases, I think they have failed to recognise the distinction between both of those scenarios. We're going to have a lot of discussions and debate. To me, they are important. To me, it is. We have to analyse and critique every situation. But I have seen, again, going back to the experience of Syriza, left-wing parties across probably the other 27 member states who have spent more time critiquing Syriza in the past year than they have planning how they're going to take power and get into government in their own country. That's a fundamental flaw that needs to be.
Cambiare i rapporti di forza e come condurre la lotta. Apriamo il dibattito, c'è già un primo scritto e chiedo ai nostri moderatori del microfono di venire qui davanti in modo che possiamo riprendere per l'archivio per le stesse anche interventi dal pubblico. Do la parola a Roberto Musacchio, già europarlamentare di Rifondazione Comunista.
Molto brevemente per dire che devo fare il contrario. Brevemente per dire che abbiamo provato in Italia a fare una discussione su questo rapporto dei cinque presidenti e i due rapporti parlamentari, uno della Bares e adesso Rostan anche, e come trasforma ed altre sigle. Mi sono molto d'accordo con Marisa sul fatto che bisogna provare a inventarsi un cambiamento dei rapporti di forza, perché loro hanno cambiato la natura dell'Europa con i rapporti di forza. Allora non riprendo la discussione generale, faccio cinque esempi di cose che farei sia in Parlamento che nella società. ma solo i titoli. La prima cosa direi che è uno scandalo che Barroso vada a dirigere la Goldman Sachs, e proporrei dentro il rapporto che si cambiano le regole e si dica che è incompatibile per chiunque sia stato dentro le istituzioni europee andare in un'istituzione privata, tantomeno una banca come la Goldman Sachs. Seconda questione, direi che è ora di chiudere la Troika. Lo direi anche perché sta scritto nello stesso rapporto della Bales che c'è un parere della Corte di Giustizia Europea in base alla quale la BCE non può più, non potrebbe più sottoscrivere il memorandum perché è un ruolo improprio. Questo parere è stato ripreso dalla relazione della Bales, una relazione schizofrenica come sempre il Parlamento Europeo. E io penso che anche di fronte al fatto che lo stesso rapporto dei cinque presidenti e la stessa Bales dicono che siamo di fronte a una sofferenza enorme determinata dalle politiche della Troica, bisogna dire che questa Troica deve essere sciolta. Terza cosa, io penso che va posto il fatto che una banca centrale europea che oramai fa quantitative easing e quindi politiche del tutto diverse da quelle originarie di controllo della stabilità monetaria, non può essere una banca autonoma e indipendente, e che va invece portata sotto il controllo democratico e politico e in particolare nei confronti del Parlamento Europeo. Quarta cosa, io direi che la principale ragione della crisi che viviamo sono le politiche di austerità, come è stato detto, ma è in questo momento il surplus tedesco. E siccome anche dentro il Tupac, la regola fatta lo scorso anno, si dice che bisogna intervenire sugli squilibri macroeconomici e il surplus esportativo è il primo di questi squilibri, ho finito rapidamente, io penso che vada sanzionato in modo drastico il surplus economico tedesco e al contrario vada finanziato dal punto di vista europeo l'uscita dai debiti nazionali, perché questi debiti sono stati creati precisamente da questo meccanismo alimentato dal surplus tedesco, cosa di cui vorrei discutere anche con Masi. Ultima cosa, e questo lo dico anche da ex parlamentare, io penso che va detta che la democrazia poggia sui cittadini, ma poi poggia sui parlamenti, e che dunque l'esproprio democratico che i governi, il Consiglio e la Commissione fanno verso il Parlamento nazionale, verso il Parlamento europeo, è inaccettabile. E quindi penso che vada posto il tema che sia il Parlamento europeo ad avere il potere sulla Banca Centrale Europea e anche sulle linee di politica economica fondamentali che l'Unione deve avere. Cinque cose concrete per avere un'agenda nostra e accompagnare l'opposizione alla loro con le nostre proposte. Grazie.
Grazie. Grazie.
I don't know anything about, and that's money, and I don't have any money. But I make mistakes from what trading. The euro was not a currency, it was a set of rules. And I made mistakes, what is money? It's a set of rules. Before the euro, we had the green euro because the market was agriculture. I mean, the first market in BC was for it was agriculture, and it was traded in the green euro, and it was not outside this area. And then there was the Bretton Woods system, who was created after the World War II by America, where the dollar was connected to gold. But Nixon, he dropped that because everybody wanted to go to America and get their dollars, get gold for their dollars, and they didn't have money or gold in the bank. So Nixon dropped it. So the whole system was stolen in crisis. And I don't really know what happened, but one thing that happened, it was the development of the euro. And it's moving. And now we have this, and to me, when I first realized what was going on, it's that money, the banks create money. When you go down to say a bunch of dollars, 1 million, they are created, and the bank is just created. $1 million for it, or euro for it. And what is money? A kind of Bruce idea. And we all heard about the dealers, when they got nervous, they sell the shares, and the market goes down. And it's a belief. And what belief is a dealer, it's the people for the money. And there's another thing, now the intervention was a Bitcoin. I don't know how it works, but it works, and some people are dealing with the Bitcoin and got up a big, I'm not worth a lot, I don't know much about it, but some created that, and it happened, and somebody are using it. So I think if we believe, I mean as socialists, I mean we were greater believers, we could create our own money. I think we could create a new social concept on the internet and deal with that or whatever. I mean, the whole system was saying that we don't believe in the economy anymore, or the economists. They don't know. And I heard about a bank account. He said, I don't know what's going on. Every rule I learned is disappeared. So there's no rent, there's nothing. How does it work? How does it work? And nobody has any idea. So what about that we are going to create some money or a bank system and start it to be why not? We cannot. And the last thing I want to say is that everybody knows who wants. I mean, in 2008, the G7, they decided to save the global monetary system. And they did. And we all know the cost of it. I mean, it was us who paid it. But it was a decision, a political decision, that we had to pay to save the global monetary system. And it worked. I mean, we paid, but it was political, and we can change it. I mean, maybe, as I said, we could make our own monetary system to get control of our money. We just have to believe it.
Interventi per poi dare spazio anche alle repliche.
Beppe Daniele, allora, che dire, questo dibattito sull'Europa, la cosa che mi preoccupa di più è con che idee progetti usciremo da questa convention che ritengo molto interessante. E, perché io ritengo che l'alternativa socialista e alternativa che deve rivoltare questa Europa deve arrivare su sia il piano locale sia il piano internazionale. Non è possibile separarli, non è possibile pensare che parto dal locale e poi espando, oppure faccio un'azione solo internazionale e mi tiro dietro e la diffondo. No, devono essere portate avanti tutte e due. Sono il locale e l'internazionale, l'ideale e il concreto della vita di tutti i giorni. La prospettiva da qui a 20-30 anni e la soluzione dell'immediato. Non è possibile separati. Bisogna riuscire ad andare contemporaneamente, trovare soluzioni e prospettive e uscire da qui con entrambe. Non sprechiamo questa occasione. Noi dobbiamo riuscire a venire fuori da questo congresso con un progetto o più progetti che possano integrarsi in questa in questo piano locale, europeo, internazionale. Perché abbiamo soprattutto urgenza di questo, perché l'attacco che viene fatto ai diritti dei lavoratori, alle condizioni di vita delle ultime persone, pensionati, malati, rifugiati e praticamente le classi subordinate, è sempre provato e sempre più forte. E la capacità di reazione purtroppo sta venendo, almeno di reazione pubblica, in manifestazioni, in movimenti, sta venendo meno, è un attacco che demolisce la capacità di reagire. A parte la Francia, che sta dando un grande esempio, però è sola. Noi dobbiamo tornare a ricostruire la solidarietà attraverso i paesi europei, ma anche delle aree vicine, una solidarietà che sia basata subito su una risposta che si possa riguardare immediatamente la vita delle persone. Syriza con il Partito Sociale ci ha dato, secondo me, un grande esempio. Anche se questo ha dei limiti, penso che questo a livello locale possa essere tranquillamente applicabile e tranquillamente in ogni paese. Ci sia un modello che sia comune a ogni paese locale e un obiettivo che possa essere europeo. Abbiamo detto della riduzione dei salari e dei diritti. Io propongo magari di lanciare una proposta a livello europeo, se questa volta la vogliamo veramente rivoltare con un cazzino e dire qualcosa che piaccia alla gente, le 6 ore di lavoro al giorno europee e salario minimo garantito europeo migliore per tutti, sulla base migliore sarebbe lavorare meno, guadagnare di più, combattere il conflitto fra lavoratori che hanno messo in essere, dando possibilità alla gente di usare il suo tempo in maniera creativa, volontaristica, politica e familiare, che permetterà di ricostruire quella felicità del vivere. Noi dobbiamo abbattere la parola competitività con la parola felicità. Noi dobbiamo tornare a immaginare questo e a livello internazionale lo possiamo anche portare una proposta di cooperazione internazionale come avviene a livello locale per l'area del Mediterraneo, per fermare o lenire le crisi in atto coinvolgendo le popolazioni locali in una loro rinascita. E perché no, la mia ultima proposta è avanzare l'idea di una carta internazionale dei diritti del lavoratore da proporre a loro. Grazie. Grazie a voi per il mio intervento.
Dear friends, I have to get back the morning I have to comment the answer of our comrade Tony because I felt myself completely misunderstood. Yes. Tony said in punto internationalist what I have proposed that they have in their party programs the point of solidarity and she marked this item as done in that list. And so I think we have spoken of two completely different things. When I tried to remind our comrades of the international, number one, number two, number three, these are not about solidarity. These have been a form of organization on a global level. In what kind of organization? It was not just a solidarity, but an active support. It was an organization for the entire global left because they considered themselves facing one enemy, getting into a common battle. That is what we have missed, what we are missing now. And I think we missed that already quite a long time. And until today, the entire left didn't recognize how dangerous this loss is. No? So when I remind you of that, in the context of Europe, we are discussing, no? So I'm supposed to do that not as an alternative or a replacement to your work, as Marisa said, you, as European left, you have to fight for concrete purposes, for concrete people, and concrete problems, and so on. This should run parallel. This is no replacement for that. But if you look now to the project Europe, as I said in the morning, the socialist Europe or no Europe? No. Without getting into the details, because I still want to see the force despite the trees. Yeah? The problem is there are only two possible scenarios for the development of the project Europe. Number one is the success of those who have just initiated the problem, the neoliberal project and so on. And that means, under the circumstances we are facing today, and we see how the left is acting, if you look at this scenario after 5 or 10 years, see you have the left in Europe in the cage, like our comrade Paulo today described, without having any connection to the rest of the world, and without having any hope for anything else to demonstrate your wishful thinking. What we need now is the connection between all the left in the entire world. There is no future for the European left without the left of the rest of the world. And therefore, this is exactly the component I still miss in all your solutions. And even in the terms of many very good proposals, I have heard, like the money issue. There are some proposals to create a new monetary system. And there are proposals of all aspects, but there are no center organizations for that. In the capitalism, everything that is nothing about a building of rules. Rules for stealing the value added. Nothing more than that. A building of rules for stealing the value added. Within one society, it works. The center gets the value added from the periphery. And in the global system, the same. The center still value added from the Britain. But also in the European structure, it is the same. You have a center and periphery, and they are still in the value added. And these are all these kind of rules you are discussing. It's nothing but that. It is the same system, and you are facing the same enemy like those in Philippines and in Africa and in Latin America, and if you have not recognized that today, you are just losing time. Thank you.
Avevo detto erroneamente che l'ultimo era Harris, perché
One suggestion to the members of the European Parliament, GUE, is to scratch the President's report in public, in the Parliament. I think that's a symbolic act. It would be very good. And you know that symbols these days play a role. Do it publicly like that. Something against the people of Europe. Have you already done that? Oh, okay, so thank you. So let's follow you. Just two remarks regarding our Irish comrades. First, I agree that there was an excessive, I use this word, a criticism against Syriza's defeat, as it was which I believe, was mainly due to psychological and ideological reasons. The psychological reason was that all people in Europe, and in Greece of course, expected from the small party who was in the government of a small country in the European periphery to change Europe, and in fact to go against world capitalism, because it was almost that that was demanded from that government. Because if Syriza had succeeded, that would have been a blow to world capitalism, not only to the EU. The second reason which I give to this excessive criticism is ideological, because I believe that as we have some dogmatic Europhiles, there also is a dogmatic experience. I mean, people who want to believe that in this way a country can find a road to socialism, which is not true in the present era. So, combined, these two things combined, I think, created this excessive criticism, which exists always also in Greece. And I can also tell you, as far as I am concerned, I am in a third category, and there are many people in that country, in this category, people who mourn for what happened. I mean, nothing, because we know that it was a defeat, and we must find a way to get out of it, which cannot come only out of one country. But I come back again to your second point. Said that if there was one more country, one more representative of another country, except the Greek government, then things would have been different. I'm afraid this is not so, and I said that this morning. Because, for example, in the case of the Portuguese and Spanish budgets, you had at least three countries who were against, and two more, which were big ones, Italy and France, who were not so willing to put sanctions for the budget. But despite this, because of the institutional structure and the way this EU is constructed,
this could not even be visible because for the proposal of the Commission to change an extended majority and advanced majority would be needed from the part of the Eurogroup and then from the Eurogroup. So it is the strange we are in front of it. So specific and strange situation in which with five countries against at least one wanted, you had a unanimous position. That's what the way it appeared of the Eurogroup of the ECOFIN to start this procedure. Well, it was unanimous, I'm afraid. I'm afraid it didn't come out. Okay, I mean, okay, you can say, Neil, please, you can then say if I'm wrong, it's okay. But in any way, my point is that you need more than one country, but even two, even three are not enough. You need a whole process of change and an alternative plan, and you should not be hasty. You should try to, and I said that again in the morning, to put this effort in a war of positions, which takes time, because you need to be patient if you want to have a real change in every country and in Europe as a whole.
Allora io darei la parola subito per la replica, Maite vuole essere la prima.
Je n'ai pas entendu aucune question.
Non, je n'ai sentito nessuna domanda. Je sentis que ça non est nécessaire de faire. Mais anche se prendre le pignon. Invece, non ho sentito le proposte.
Vorrei
dire
une chose assez brutale, c'est que moi je suis complètement contre les propositions de ce que l'Union européenne déloie pour tout le monde. Je crois que ce modèle, l'Union européenne, n'est pas responsable. Et parce que je pense qu'on ne peut rien construire étant le capitalisme. Je suis ministre, je dois rajouter le capitalisme. Je suis vice-présidente du Parti de la Gauche européenne, mais aussi je suis membre du Parti communiste de l'Espagne et de la Gauche unie de l'Espagne. Alors, on peut penser ce qu'on veut, mais c'est qu'on ne peut pas réformer rien étant le capitalisme. Et alors, je suis complètement contre d'essayer de faire dans cette Union européenne, de loi européenne, parce que normalement, ces lois sont tous des affaires horribles. Et en plus, par exemple, dans le cas de l'avortement, pour être très concrète, il y a des pays comme Chypre qui ont des lois d'avortement les plus intelligentes du monde, je dirais. Alors, si on touche à niveau européen les lois, moi j'ai peur. Moi je veux que des pays qui ont, je ne sais pas, par exemple, un salaire garanti de 2000 euros, je suis en train de construire sur l'eau, je ne me souviens pas, et peut-être ces pays-là auront 800 euros, et ça serait des salaires de 600 ou 600, ça serait, c'est que cette Union européenne, on n'a rien. Cette Union européenne, à moi, me fait peur. Alors, je pense que ce n'est pas possible, que ce n'est pas possible d'arranger rien, et je suis aussi contre absolument de essayer de faire un effort. Par contre, je suis pour un modèle régional. Je suis pour un modèle régional complètement différent, où les travailleurs, où le travailleur,
a livello tecnico, lasciamo le cose agli esperti. Dimmi quello che mi dite.
So che no, può finire, c'è un po' di stagnante, no? E je crois que aspirer à changer le modèle de l'Union européenne, c'est une perte de temps. Et que nous devons terminer le but supplément pour des aides des camarades pour l'internationalisme. Ça, c'est la lutte, le cadre, c'est le cadre international. Mais je répète, par contre, je suis pour un modèle des constructions régionales complètement différentes à celui que nous avons à ce moment-là. Après, on a un débat sur l'Amérique latine. Après, alors, on va parler de deux modèles régionaux complètement différents et avec beaucoup de difficultés, c'est vrai, en Amérique latine. Alors, moi, je crois que ce genre de propositions, c'est donner des souples au néolibéralisme, au social-démocrate et au parti conservateur de la partie fasciste. Alors, moi, je serais surtout très critique avec cette Union européenne. Et comme on a dit déjà, moi aussi, je le dis, on doit essayer d'avoir le pouvoir dans les pays. Je le dis déjà, on doit essayer de l'avoir pour pouvoir changer les choses. Donc, mais comme je vous dis, moi, je pense que cette projet n'a pas de solution. Alors, que faire ces gens de construire au niveau européen, c'est perdre le temps et renforcer un modèle qui n'est pas.
Grazie Maite e
thank you I will be very brief. First of all I want to explain that how is to be the government, especially you have this framework of the European Union. I was minister in left government cycle for 5 years. In the first 3 years, 3.5 years. We took a very position, a policy. We changed, we increased three times the minimum wages. We make a policy for housing. We gave 90,000 of young families house or land to build a house. We made a social policy for reform to support public care, public education. But what happens at the end? We couldn't remember the truth. They closed the possibility to have money. We'll be out of the market. And we collapse because we collapse the banks. Where is more country? They compare to Iceland, not the building, you know, maybe the euro. We have the similar problem with the banks. But Iceland, they find a way out because they are investing in the currency, they make more public care, they change the bank system because in the eurozone, the bank. They are out of control of the state. They are after the control of the European Central Bank. I give you an example because I believe we have to discuss how we find a way out. Roberto, you have right about the rules that the Germans break the rules about the subprimes. The dominant powers always they break the rules. The rules exist not for the dominant powers. That, I agree with what Leonora said yesterday. We have to break the rules as a left. We speak about the European Parliament. It's a shy democracy. It's not a parliament, the European Parliament. It's illusion to believe that you can change the in the European Parliament. For us, the European Parliament is an instrument to use to have information, knowledge, to support our mass struggle in our countries in the European level. This must be the European Parliament for us. And I finish to say that the last year we had the discussion always up to date in the European Union. More Europe or less Europe? That's the want to have this dilemma. It's a wrong dilemma. It's not a dilemma for us.
For us, it didn't matter what kind of Europe. And we have to change the question. That is our challenge for the left today. And to be more concrete, what is the Europe we will need for the people? And that this Europe, the European Union, is not the Europe for the people. It's not the Europe for the population.
Yes, and we also have to stop making the confusion between the European Union and the EU, because it's not exactly the same thing. As Maite said, there were no questions, there were comments. I want to comment just upon some comments, which were. It's true that the European Parliament is not a real parliament because it has a lot of initiatives, so calling it a parliament in the sense that we understand the parliament is not the same. But I don't want also to put us in a situation like to say that the European Parliament has a responsibility at all with the situation that was created in this governance framework and all these rules which have been adopted, because they didn't appear as the outcome of God's will or natural disaster. They were discussed, they were approved, they were majorities. What Alice was saying concerning the sanctions is a very good example of this, because it was the regulations decided and negotiated by the European Parliament in the moment that the magic thing of the automatic sanctions, which can be put into practice by the Commission, the European Commission, they were approved in the vast majority, and they were negotiated, like I said, at the European Parliament level. So a lot of these things that we are facing were discussed, they are facing, blaming responsible people, so we can also not put us in such a situation which is to say, okay, that's not a real problem, so we'll not pay attention. No, we need to be. Give to the European Commission the power of applying automatic sanctions. It was approved just recently, and in fact now, if the European Commission decides to have automatic sanctions, then it goes to the Council or the Eurogroup or to ECOFIN, and we need to have an immense majority in order to block these automatic sanctions. But same things. Why I was saying that the only rule of the European Union is discretionarity? Because 24 out of 28 member states are not in line with the targets defined under stability and growth pact, or under the economic governance package, or under the sanctions regulation. 24 out of 28 are not in line with the so-called rules. Of course, the problem is with the rules, and not with the government. Okay, we would say that the problem is the rules. So that's why we have to disobey them. We have to say, oh, yeah, no, it's because of the rules. Sorry, what's the rules? But in any case, this, what is happening in Portugal and Spain, is the example of the agreement done with Portugal and Spain, because the agreements done with France were totally different, with Italy were totally different, with all the other countries were different. So this so wonderful, magnificent rule, with the automatic sanctions procedure, gives us the right of having 23 different agreements according to the size of the economy or according to the color of the government in the country, or according to the fact if there will be or not be elections in the near future, like it was in the case of Spain. So, this is the level of discretionarity of the rules, which I want to insist on. As I was mentioning, the top president's report in Bulgaria in the planning session. As for other comments, I just want to say, I agree a lot with what Augusto said, but I'm against all types of sanctions. I'm sorry. I don't think that we get any gain by adding sanctions or applying sanctions to surplus. We are playing the same game again. We are within the same system and we reproduce the system. I'm not in favor of any type of sanctions. Sanctions always have as a result, as an outcome to punish people. No, you said to sanction the circles of Germany. Okay, I understood that you were saying to sanction the circles of Germany and then to redistribute it to the other countries. Okay, we can ask a lot of things to Germany. I think they will say nothing to us in any case, but we can ask Germany to ask to Germany. But never, in my perspective, through the punishment or the sanction model, because of course we know that the surplus is the mirror of the deficit and all the things are interconnected, but I don't think it's the I just want to finish by saying that this is what is happening in Portugal now. We are facing huge pressure from European institutions. We were facing a lot of pressure for the budget because we decided to suspend austerity policies and to increase wages and pensions and to increase investment in the public, the state, and social state. And we stopped the privatization processes, which were being negotiated, and a lot of other measures. And even not doing the revolution, only be very modest, stopping austerity measures, it was already a huge problem in the And now we are facing again this pressure with the sanctions, which has nothing to do with the current year. They have to do with the years between 2013 and 2015, which mean the years of Draco, which mean the years with which we had a policy decided in Brussels and adopted by the right-wing government. So they are kind of self-sanctioned because the deficit related to this news is also related to the policies defined in Brussels and the political development. So it's of course political sanctions, and not necessarily ones or symbolic ones. They are political sanctions in order to try to do with Portugal exactly the same as and that's why they don't stop talking about the need of a new memorandum for Portugal. When we have the projections, the best projections since the last 20 years when it comes to economic impact, public accounts consolidation, and the rule of 3%. So that means nothing, it's just figures to do whatever they want to do. So that's why I keep saying we have to disobey and collect. And there's nothing to us to say that we cannot have an alternative because of the rules. These rules are not our only rules, so why to talk about these rules?
I'm glad that one of the first speakers, I think, was Roberto, mentioned the Barroso appointment.
because when we're talking about the five presidents report, most of the people who I meet in Ireland couldn't name one of them. But they know who José Manuel Barroso is, because he was the face of the Troika. He was the, if you were to ask somebody to put a face on austerity, he is the guy. And I think it sent a very strong message to people that just after the mandatory 18 months, he walks into the board of one of the institutions that caused the global economic crash. And I think a lot of people, not just those traditionally of the left, but a lot of people had an awakening when they saw that and they questioned where are and where were the European institutions coming from. So I was glad that was mentioned. And it was mentioned that I had said, and perhaps I did say, that one single government would have made, in support of Syriza, would have made a difference. And the point I was making, that one single government in support of the Syriza government would have been a better position than they were in, where they had nobody. They went into the European Council, they went into the Eurogroup, they were completely isolated. In fact, the governments that should have been supporting them, my government, Maurice's government at the time, the Spanish government, the governments that had their own citizens' interests, were for them to support Syriza, absolutely not only didn't support them, were amongst their strongest opponents inside of the room. And the reason they were was because any leeway given to Syriza would have exposed their failures to stand up for their own people. So the point I was making was, yes, absolutely, okay, one or two left-wing governments in Europe isn't enough, but we need to be in government and we need to be in the council. If we're going to affect the type of change that we need, that's what we need to get. We need to get left-wing governments. And the only people who will elect a left-wing government in Italy are left-wing Italians. The only people who are going to do it in Ireland are left-wing Irish people. Absolutely, we need support and solidarity, but we need to be working on the ground in our own communities and within our own countries in order to deliver the type of change internationally that we need. Because, and I'll finish on this, we need to be careful what we wish for. Because I see sometimes we look towards the European Parliament and say we need to strengthen the powers of the European Parliament. My country, for example, the entire island of Ireland, north and south, has 14 MEPs. The Germans have almost 100. If they're going to be in a conflict with Ireland, they're in a better position dealing with it at a European Parliament level, where they have 100 to our 14, than at a council meeting where it's one and one, even though they have qualified higher weighting. But it's a different scenario. So sometimes we need to be careful where we look for and what we wish for, because to me the strength lies in getting governments and getting them governments to have the power to influence the type of decisions that are actually going to make a difference, and for them to be able to work in partnership with other governments who think the same. That to me is the only way in which we have any prospect of changing the European Union or changing Europe or whatever we're going to call it, but to create a scenario where we can undermine the neoliberal infrastructure that is currently in place and actually start about creating a Europe of equals and a socialist Europe.